Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Brian Campanella and Gail Estrada from Jensen Speakers and Antique Electronic Supply. Brian and Gail have brought some of their Jensen speakers so we can test them and demo them live on air. And now, here are your hosts, Mr. Jeff Floro and Scott Sill. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts. Welcome, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to have our friends at Jensen over here. We got some interesting speakers to test out today, and it's cooling off in Los Angeles.
Well,
it's nighttime here.
Apparently,
we can hear.
it's nighttime everywhere. As you can tell, we have a cricket in the studio,
there
or possibly a phone call. This weekend actually was the LA Amp Show. For those of you that aren't familiar with that particular show, there was a show held in the San Fernando Valley out here in Los Angeles, where I think there was like around 40 or 50 different boutique amplifier makers and some guitar boutique guys. And then, you know, some of the big guys like Guitar Center all came and to demonstrate some of their unique instruments. And so while we're there, we shot quite a few videos featuring Jeff and some other folks. So we shot some stuff with 65 amps.
Yes, some really interesting stuff out there, some amazing guitars. LSL guitars, GMP guitars. I played a bunch of really interesting instruments over there. I also want to thank Lonnie for letting us into the show. It was a great But anyway, it was a really interesting show, and a good friend of mine, Joe Bosher, some of these guys will be on our future shows. We got some interesting instruments.
I think one of the things I was pretty interested in running into was a group called Quilter Amplification, which is actually a solid state amp manufacturer, which is kind of not against, but it's different than mm-hmm. most people's philosophy mm-hmm. of tube amps being the way to go. So the Quilters were quite interesting. They sounded amazing clean.
Yeah, he was explaining, and there's a video of this explaining this Class D technology. And this little amp, it weighs like about 5 pounds. It's 200 watts, and it's got punch. I mean, it punched like a tube amp. It was pretty amazing. And we had this one little amp with an 8-inch speaker. The main amp was an 8-inch, and this is a 200-watt amp. And then he put this other 12, and it was just amazing, the low mids that we got. You could feel it in your chest. It was pretty dramatic.
So we shot, I think about 3 or 4 videos on Sunday, and Jeff appears in some of those. And then I shot about 4 or 5 on Saturday. So there'll be quite a few of those videos popping up on my YouTube channel, Selenium, if you want to look for it, or you can search my name, or don't, whichever.
Or
way.
Just look on the Flow site, because you'll have a link on there from the Flow Guitar
definitely.
Enthusiast
I'll put
site.
A Flow site or on our Facebook site. So it should be very cool. And then just want to let everyone know that listening. So in the middle of the show today, we'll be announcing the winner of the Jensen speaker giveaway that we're doing, the courtesy of Jensen. So thank you very much for that. They're giving away the Falcon from the Jet series. And we'll be talking about that speaker and demoing it live on air. Not the one we're giving away, but the one they have. So. Mm-hmm. So make sure if you want to register for that last minute, make sure to go to our website, www.flowguitarenthusiast.com. And lastly, you can join us on our chat room on there.
Yes, we're in there right now.
Yes, and then also we are taking callers later, so 323-203-0815.
Yes, and today I had a visit over here locally with LSL Guitars, with Lance, the owner of that, and I got some pictures of how he makes these guitars. I mean, he does most of most of the equipment and the hardware and stuff he makes himself. It's pretty amazing, and the guitars are just beautiful guitars. So I'll be posting some of that stuff soon, and he kind of goes through the whole process. I got some good pictures inside the factory, how they make the guitars. The wood, I mean, just was heaven for me because I all this ash and alder and mahogany everywhere.
So are you saying, Jeff, you had wood?
This is a family show. Be careful. Anyway,
that exactly. Was so you had hardwood.
Anyway, it was pretty. It was pretty interesting.
Anyways, let's go ahead and let's bring in our guests. We have with us today, we have Mr. Brian Campanella and Gail Estrada, who's actually setting up his guitar right now, so getting himself ready. You know, he has 8 different speakers here to switch, so it's not exactly a quick.
Yeah, while he's setting that up right now, we should explain what they did. They took a couple of Marshall 4x12 cabinets, and they wired them with a speaker selector switch so that they can go through every. They have 8 different speakers in there. We can actually just switch as we're going through and hear the differences between the different types of Jensen speakers, which are quite a few. Actually, I was surprised there's a lot more than I thought.
Yep. Yep. So, Brian, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So Brian, tell us about what you do over at Jensen and kind of what your role there is, and then we'll talk more about Jensen itself.
Okay. Well, I work for Antique Electronic Supply. It's a family-owned business, and we are in our 30th year right now, and our sister company, CE Distribution, is the exclusive distributor of Jensen. They're made in Italy by Sika Altoparlante, which they've been in business about 28 years. So in 1999, the distributorship for Jensen came up, and we were already selling Jensen speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And we, at that time, had just started CE Distribution as a wholesale. Zantica is a retail company. And we told them, hey, you're talking about us when, you know, we should be your distributor. So there was, you know, competition between a number of different potential distributors, but we won out. And so we have been Jensen for North America and South America, you know, since then. So.
So can you tell us, I mean, so the one interesting thing about Jensen is it's been around since kind of the beginning of the invention of the speaker. So how was, and I believe his name is Peter Jensen, how was he kind of involved in that process?
Well, Peter L. Jensen is, he came to America in 1910. And there's a book that I read that, you know, he said, he commented that he didn't have anything that he felt, any emotion when he saw the Statue of Liberty, because he was coming over and getting off the boat as a mm-hmm. business person and just walking into America type thing. So that was kind of interesting to me. But he was working with a guy named Paulson, who developed when Marconi was spark gap, they came through with a continuous wave. And then later on, the Magnavox, which was the first ever public address by Woodrow Wilson in San Diego, California, and they say that an eighth of the city was present at this, and so he was present there, and that's really the first time that there was ever or amplified.
We have
so,
a
go ahead.
We actually have a caller. Actually.
Yes, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, Jim. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Great. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jim Messina. We had on last week, if you listened to the show, he had a question about speakers, and we let him know that Jensen would be on. So,
yeah, and Jim's from Loggins and Messina, Buffalo, Springfield, and Poco.
Yeah.
So just to give it back.
And where are you now? Are you still en route? Are you driving right now, or are you?
Actually, yeah, I hit Mesa, Arizona this afternoon, and we put the bus into... Our bus's name is Dusty. She's our touring bus, and mm-hmm. she's one of the family. But she needs to get in, get a little doctor's checkup, get her brakes and fluids all checked, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we're actually sitting in Scottsdale right now. Brought my daughter and wife over to a place where we can hang out for 3 days, and she can swim and have fun and do what 7-year-olds do. And And I was sitting here thinking about those Jensen speakers, and I thought, did you get somebody on tonight that we can chat with?
Yes, Jim, I'd like to introduce you to both Brian and Gail. Gail, Brian, Jim Messina.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Jim?
Hi. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. You're not far from where we live.
Oh, really? What part of Arizona do you guys
live? Well, our store is it's our warehouse is in Tempe, Arizona, which is just south of Scottsdale, and I live next door to Mesa and Chandler myself.
And I actually live in Mesa myself.
Well, it sounds like I'm in the neighborhood, huh?
Yes, but we're not.
They're actually here in studio with us. So.
So when do you guys get back home?
Oh, we're driving back tomorrow, so we'll be home tomorrow.
Well, good. I have a question for you. Actually, I have an observation, and at some point in time, I'd love to chat with you a little bit about some of the speakers I have still in one of my Blackface Super Reverbs that I use for recording. One had the original, I believe, Jensen's in it, and the other one we updated to what we thought was a better sound in those days was to go with the, and these are 10-inch speakers, 410s, so we went with a JBL 410s because we thought that the brightness would end up being better. And in some ways it did for stage, but for recording, it had a different affect, whereas the original Jensen's that didn't have the metal cones, they actually recorded smoother and I think got a much better tone overall. But I had a question last week, and it's becoming a problem for those of us who tour want to take our gear with us. The airlines have started to not allow guitar amps on because of the magnetic speakers,
yes.
Which is a bummer.
I've noticed that.
Which is a drag. And last week I had brought up the idea, and I'm thinking of exploring this, and I wanted to actually talk to Jensen about it. But in the old days, when the old radios came in the 20s and 30s, they didn't use magnets; they used electromagnets.
Yes,
and in order to get them to speaker to work, obviously it had to be plugged in.
Yes.
Sir. Well, that might be a wave of the future if we can A1 get weight down. And number two, get magnetism out of the speakers that is charged so that we could actually take our amps with us and put them on the airplanes. What do you guys think about that idea? Have you had any thoughts about it, or has there been any discussion about trying to solve that problem?
Well, it's not really something we were aware of. I fly a lot to going to different shows, and have noticed that what popped up about 2 months ago, where you had to, agree or say that you were in compliance, and they had the no magnets thing. And I think it has something to do with the machines that they look at luggage with. It must interfere with it. But the kind of speaker that you're speaking about is a field coil magnet, and that's how they all were prior to the permanent magnets that we see with the, whether it be ceramic or Alnico or the neodymium magnet. In audio, they really liked those back in the day, but they all, it all went away when the permanent magnet came in. So I don't know. I mean, that's something I could, inquire to the factory to say, is there any chance that that's ever going to come back?
Well, I think there'd have to be a need for it. I mean, they're not going to make a new magnet just because, it's a different way of doing it. But I do believe that we're going to start seeing more problems with being able to tour with magnetic speakers unless they're flying, unless you fly them on a private plane.
Right.
I think we're going to see more and more problem, which means that less of us are going to have the opportunity to take our equipment with us. I'm already at a point where I can't have 4 dates in a row going excess baggage in date two. You can't take your amplifiers on this airplane because now they're being left in a state away from where I live, and I don't have, equipment to be able to play that night at a gig. So the question would be whether or not it's going to be a problem in the future. And I would like to know if there's a way to retrofit, our amps with that possibility. And then, of course, the other question that I had last week was, currently I'm playing through some Hot Rod Deluxes, which I've modified to get a little better tone and quality out of. And I was asking about lighter speakers with a lighter magnet, and I'm wondering how those particular speakers are, you know, standing up to the, you know, to the newer magnetic heavier speakers. There's no point mentioning any brand names. I'm just more interested in how you guys feel compared to the speakers that you would, you know, put in a Fender amp, a normal Fender amp, compared to the lighter magnet. What are you finding are the upsides and the downsides?
Well, neodymium is it's a rare earth magnet. It's extremely has a very high Gauss rate to it, where it's you know, in approximation about 5 times stronger than the Gauss in an El Nico speaker. And so they're much smaller, therefore you now have a lighter speaker. I think the significant change comes in the 12-inch and especially in a 15-inch speaker. But whereas a 10, the percent of weight of the magnet to the overall doesn't seem to be as much, so you don't get as much of a drop in weight. But the 12s, they're much lighter. I would say that from what I have heard, I've been to the factory in Italy, that Neo is, with that very strong magnetic field, they were very difficult to develop, and that in general, now this is just in general, that a neodymium magnet speaker tends to be bright, and that's kind of where the challenges are, whereas the Jensen speaker, the Jensens that have neodymium magnets, they came out later than some of the others, but they were the ones that were as far moved away from that brightness as you can get. So,
right. How would you compare the brightness, say, if you went to a I'll give you an example. The older JBLs that we had they were the D series 125s or 120, something like that. And they had an aluminum tweeter in the center. And those particular speakers were much brighter than, say, for instance, the speakers that didn't have that. How would you compare the Neo, how did you pronounce that? Neo Dyn?
Neo Mag.
Just say Neo.
Neo or Neo Mag.
How would you compare the difference between the brightness that you're getting out of just a simple Neo magnet with a plain speaker as opposed to the other style?
Well, we're going to leave that one to Gail here.
Yeah, we have it here, so we can actually play it for you here. It'll be on the phone, but, I mean, we can also get you the clip, too, afterwards. But, Gail, you want to show us the Neo?
Do you mind clicking it for me?
Okay.
While he's setting that up, Jim, I've got a Neo Mag. It's not a Jensen. I had it custom made by Weber to get like a JBL sound. The aluminum dome, the cover over the voice coil, does make it brighter. Oh. But you can use the trick I heard was you use a cloth one and you use the bigger dome that's like for the bass, and that will that'll smooth out the high end and bring it down so it's not as bright. And you can have some. I don't know if Jensen makes the Neo Mag with a cloth voice coil cover, if they make it like that, or the bigger one, like the bass one. If they did that, that would be even mellower. But let's play this one and let you can, I know you're listening over the phone now, but later on you can take a listen to the show.
Well, let me ask Gail one quick question, because there won't be anything I can hear much below 500 hertz on these earbuds I have. But the question I have for Gail is, where is the peak in the frequency of these speakers, for instance, is it 2K, 3K, 4? What would you say?
They're looking at the spec
looking
sheet
at the chart right now,
so we'll give you that.
But I mean, I can tell you from because I played, they sent me 6 different speakers and I tried them all, and the Neo I was really pleased with. I mean, I'm an Al Nico guy all around, and I think out of the case in these, I mean, everybody's taste is different and everybody likes what they like. But for me, the Neo, I thought won out of it. But not that there's a winner in a speaker shootout, but it's what you like. But go ahead, Gail, why don't you give us something?
It's about 6 to 7K. Is probably a safe roundabout to be as far as the peak response.
And what's the decibel plus on that?
I want to say it's 9.
The sensitivity is 97.3. And the
In terms of the peak, I mean, if you're looking at a flat frequency, there should be a peak in there. Is it 2 dB, 3 dB, half a dB? What would be the spike in terms of those needle magnets compared to, say, a traditional Jensen speaker?
I believe that would be the 97.3.
No, sensitivity. That's how loud the speaker is. The resonance, just so you know, the resonance frequency is 72.4 hertz. It doesn't have a scale on here, but from the medium, from what I can get from the medium, it's like, I would say at least 6 dB hotter, I would think. I'm guessing, but I'm just looking.
But you're talking about overall volume, right?
No, at the peak. I'm looking at the graph.
And what is the peak?
Yeah, he's asking the hertz. What hertz does it peak at?
In hertz.
Yeah,
in,
the
in
graph.
What's the peak?
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's not. No, it's not showing.
It's not on
that one. While he's playing, let me go to their site and see if I can get a bigger shot of the graph.
Yeah, you'll see it on the site.
Playing this live?
Yes, we are.
Hey, what would it sound like? You take all the chorusing off of that, so you just hear the amp and the speaker and the guitar.
That's just the amp.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no processing.
We're playing through an 8-watt mod kit amp right now.
So maybe you can hear,
really?
Maybe he's hearing the room sound.
Oh, okay. We'll try it again with the door closed. Okay. But let me just tell you real quick. I'm seeing the highest peak at about. Almost 3K, about 3K, and it's, I'm trying to read the...
The graph?
Yeah, the decibel level at that point is 105 decibels on the graph, so the 3K...
Then what would it be at 1K or 5K above that? It's 103 there, what is the other readings?
1K, 1K is reading plus 100 decibels. Plus 100 decibels at 1K. 5K is a little lower than that, about 95 decibels.
Okay.
So it's rolling off the high. Yeah, it drops pretty fast after 2K. The graph shows it going down to, you know, so it's like nothing at 10K. So it's definitely...
Yeah, there wouldn't be anything at 10K, really. Usually guitar speakers are really alive somewhere between 3, 5, 7, you know, 7. What does it say at 7? Is it dropping at 7?
7K, it actually does a little quick peak, but it's only at about 82, 83 decibels.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you say, the peak's about 103 at 3K, which, you know what, that's kind of a hard frequency to get sometimes when you're out on the road. It might be a really nice-sounding live speaker, especially for, you know, in a hall where you're trying to reach out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, Jim, I tell you, I'm actually handing the speaker over to them tonight, and I really don't want to, but I guess I am. So, I really like the Neo. Actually, I think it's a very cool sounding speaker. So,
but you're gonna be over there for what, a couple more days?
I'll be here for a couple of days, and you know what? Oddly enough, I have both of my Hot Rod Deluxes in here. They're identical. I run my amps in stereo. I guess you guys have some tech heads on there. So what I usually do is I come out of my guitar through a tuner, through a compressor, and then I return that through a snake back into the input of the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I adjust the level like I would normally have it on those Hi-Rod Deluxes. Even on a big stage, I'm only running them at about number four, whatever that would look
yeah.
at. And then from there, out of one of the preamps that the guitar is plugged in, that goes back through a snake back up to the pedal board, and then that goes through all the effects, and those would be very simple, just digital delay, chorusing, and mm-hmm. the chorusing, everything is stereo, runs into a little reverb hall unit, all Boss stuff, and then it comes out stereo, goes back to the snake, and then it returns to the left hot rod into the power amp in, and then to the right hot rod to the power amp in. So, in effect, one amp is triggering everything, and then you create your stereo effects and return left and right, like you would in a power amp in a studio.
Right.
And the affect of it is just awesome because it's so clean. Most people don't know, but you cannot run a compressor to an effects loop. You'll kill your amp, and you kill the sound, you kill the tone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep it in the first stage, before it hits the input of the guitar amp, you can crush it and do anything you want to it. And then when it returns normally back into the guitar amp input, it goes to the preamp and the different stages at the levels that it wants to see. And so you get a very, very dynamic output of those speakers at a low level.
Mm-hmm.
Low level, probably being 90 dB. But you don't, on a stage, we don't really want to go much more than that because you're going to overdrive the mics. And, if you got to pad them 20 dB to get the sound out and you start, hitting those peaks on those mics, it just, first of all, you're gonna overrun the sound system, and you're gonna hear guitar amps out in the hall before you actually hear the mic version. So we got good levels coming off stage with those amps. And again, it's just a question of speakers. I've tried different speakers, and they all sound good on the amp, but they all have different color to them. It's all.
Well, actually, what I think would be really cool since the Neo is very similar to Al Nico's. Maybe Gail, if you could play like the same thing with the Neo, and then we'll have Brian run over there and flip the switch to either the Blackbird or the P12N, whichever Al Nico's in there. Is there an Al Nico in that same cabinet?
Yeah, there's three Al Nico's in there. So
okay, we'll yeah. So let's do that, and then we'll just switch it so we can kind of hear the difference live on air between those speakers and how close or not close they are.
All right, just give us 1 second here.
While he's doing that, real quick. I'm double checking. I apologize. I clicked on the wrong graph. I have now the Neo Mag. The peak is at it's around still around 3K at 105. It's almost identical. The Neo Mag dips more at 7. So at 7K, it's running at about 85. I think it was a little higher than 85 on the other amp, but it's very close to the Al Nico spec. So go ahead and play. I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that while you were saying.
So here's the Neo first.
Oh, you want Neo first?
Neo first. Okay.
Okay, we're on Neo.
Go ahead.
And then we'll switch out to the Al Nico.
Al Nico. Okay, he's got
Here's the Blackbird. They're very, very similar.
My earbuds are, they're just earbuds. I would never try to judge anything. But I have to tell you that the EOS sounded fuller. I mean, I could definitely hear the high end coming through.
And that's what you get with it. That's what you do get with the Neo. You get a little more brights out of it, where with the Blackbird, with the Al Nico, it does focus a lot with mids and lows as well. This weekend with the amp show that we were working, we noticed that a lot of guys like the highs that came out of the Neo. I mean, every one of our speakers has a different colorization to it, but the Neo definitely gives a lot of brights in your tone.
Yep.
Yeah, I just, you know, the difference between 3K and 7K at mine, 85 dB and 105, that's a lot. That's a pretty big peak. But again, it's a lot. It's quieter to roll off high end than it is to try to add it. So, you know, those of us who've been in recording engineers all our life would much rather be rolling highs off than having to dig for them. So, it may be that you could tone your amp down a little bit to make those speakers sound closer to maybe what one would be, you know, normally accustomed to.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing, you know. Well, you know, I found that we ran a tone, a 1K tone through a Hot Rod Deluxe to just see where it sat in terms of, you know, how flat or not flat it was. And we found that if you turn the bass all the way off, turn the mid-range all the way up, and turn the treble all the way down, that the amp is absolutely flat. And it makes sense, because when you start bringing the bass up and the highs up and you bring the mid-range down, you get a smiley curve, you know,
right.
Which is what is most pleasant to most people subconsciously, you know. Most people don't like all mid-range, and it's just not comfortable to listen to. So I would think a speaker that has more of a high peak to it, you know, 3K is really in the mid-range, in my opinion. But
right.
That having been said, to roll some of that off on your amp, your amp's going to actually be quieter as it's coming out. So that's a good thing.
And I want to mention also too, Jim, that the they're using a dust dome dust cover for over the coil, and they're using paper. Their cone is paper, so that's a little bit of a softer sound too.
What choices do you have out of Jensen to put over the center cone? I know we have, you said paper, and I guess there was aluminum. Do you use any aluminum in any of your speaker models for the cone, like the old JBLs?
No, we don't have any that have an aluminum cone. So
they don't make one, but you can actually have one put on. You can buy the dome. The domes are, you know, any speaker you can pop them on. But I don't know if you really want it. I mean, it's
pretty
chimey. I mean, we're using a Taylor guitar here. They're Taylor Electric, and these pickups.
Taylor T3B is what it is.
And the these pickups are really, really clean, and the distortion we're hearing was that little amp, because we're only using a little 8-watt amp in the studio. But this thing the highs are really, when you listen to it, if you can listen, when you listen to the show later on a good system, you'll hear it's really chimey. It's a really nice, articulate high end. And it's smooth.
Yeah, and actually, we need to send Jim, and actually anyone can check it out, but send Jim the link. But the speaker shootout I did with all six of those different speakers, and one of them is that with the Taylor guitar, you can hear it, and then also you hear it with a Les Paul, so you can hear different sounds. Yeah, and you can hear, but all the six different speakers that I did Ceramic, Neomag, Alnico, all sorts of things. So. And actually, now Jeff has grabbed the guitar, so Jeff is going to do something.
Jim, here, I'm just going to play some, you know, just... It's out of tune, sorry. But you can hear how clear it is. This is the Neomag, so you can hear all. There's plenty of highs in here.
Yeah. Yep.
So you're getting.
Yeah,
it sparkles, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can hear that through these lousy headsets that I have on. You guys are going to be back tomorrow, right? To your factory?
Yes.
You know, if, with your permission, I would love to give you a buzz. And while I have the bus here and have my amps, it might be great to bring bring them over and just, you know, slap a couple in, see what they sound like. Because I would like to take my amps with me. You know, I just hate leaving them home because I can't put them on the airplane.
Yeah.
But
if it's
the weight factor would be a big deal too, because I think the amps weigh in at 70. With the case, they weigh in about 72 pounds. So, and I believe what's in there right now, what came stock with that was a Celestion speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an idea what the weight is on those Celestions?
If they're Alnico, in general, the Neos are usually half the weight of an Alnico.
Yeah, it's considerable difference.
Yeah. But I don't know about ceramic. Ceramic's lighter. So if it's a ceramic speaker, it might not be as much of a
difference.
They're
still lighter than ceramic speaker, but this is not as significant.
Yeah. But if it's okay, Jim, after the show, is it okay for me? I'll give them your phone number so they can contact you when they get into town. And much to Scott's dismay, he's going to have to give the Neo up. They'll have a 12 there for you to try right there because we're giving them back.
We got a whole warehouse full of 12s.
But the Neomag I had is special. It's been specially tested and broken in by myself.
Yes. It's special. But, no, we would love to have you come by.
I'm broken in for sure. No, I'm kidding.
Ouch. All right.
You're only 15, 20 minutes up the 101 freeway from us. So.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's not far.
Well, just text me the information, and I'd love to check them out. I think... Jensen's always been a favorite of mine, and I still have a bunch of them in storage that we use in case something breaks down. They're pretty old at this point. They're probably ready to be recalled.
Or we could sell you some new ones. How's that?
Yeah. That's true.
And also, if you get together with them, you got to check out the, they'll have these cabinets that they brought into the studio. They have their whole line in there. So you can actually test against the Alnico to see what the differences are, and the ceramic, and you can take a listen to all of them. So they have a way for you to try all of them just from the head from your guitar. So, should be pretty interesting.
The tone I get, as you guys know, is it's less about distortion and more about dynamics. And what I'd love to hear is a good, clear spectrum coming out of the instrument. So it's nice and clean and clear, but it has the attack and, the ability to, be brought up into the mix and not kill you.
Yeah.
And at the same time, hopefully mesmerize, the listener.
Yeah. Well, I think you'll have an interesting time there. And I think that you'll get that mellowness, especially with the paper, the cloth dome, all of that stuff adds to it. But it definitely will give you that type of I think it'll be that sound. But when they get into town, they'll give you a buzz, and then you guys can get together.
Well, thanks for calling. I appreciate you letting me butt into your interview, and I learned a lot tonight, and I'll give you guys a buzz.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, and we learned a lot from you, too.
Yeah,
it's good to hear stories from the road anyway. So.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
So long.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right, so with that, why don't you, Gail, give us a little something. We're going to hear the Falcon speaker, and after he gets done playing a little something-something there, then we'll announce the winner of the Falcon.
Just going to play a little something that I've been playing the whole time.
That was the Falcon. That's a ceramic speaker. And without further ado, let's announce the winner. And oh my God, I almost just minimized my screen there and didn't see who it was. Mr. Raymond Cito is the winner of the Falcon speaker. Raymond Cito. So I will be getting hold of you, or myself or Jeff will be getting hold of you to send you out the speaker and some Jensen speaker or stickers. And I think I've even got a mouse pad. I don't know if you guys have got anything else to add into the little box, but...
How about a shirt?
Yeah. Well, we got a shirt, too, so you're going to be all Jensen-fied.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
So tell us about the Falcon. Actually, let's just talk about the Jet series. That's kind of a high wattage, and when we cover that, the one thing I definitely want to talk about is that Blackbird that you played earlier, because I want to know how the heck did you guys get 100 watts out of it?
Yeah, you're the highest power.
So let's talk about what the Jet Series accomplishes and then talk about that Blackbird and the Falcon.
Well, the Falcon is a 50-watt ceramic. It's got a good mid-range and can pull out the highs and the lows as well. The Neo that we've gone through most of the show, obviously that's 100 watts Neo magnet, and mm-hmm. it focuses on the highs and sparkles, and the Blackbird being 100 watt Alnico.
So what is it that Jensen did different to get a 100 watt Alnico? I mean, most Alnicos are lower wattage.
Yes, it was the first 100 watt Alnico for a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
It all goes back to Raimundo, the owner of Sika. They're engineers, and they also have an engineer in ferroresonance, which is a very rare engineering degree, evidently. It's also an area that people don't fully understand. But they are there's a speaker that they came up with. They won 5 engineering awards on one speaker, and I mentioned that just to point to that they're just amazing guys. They really know speakers. That's mm-hmm. what his whole life is dedicated to.
If you look at the catalog, the magnet doesn't look that you would expect it to be huge, you know.
What is the ounces on that magnet, actually? Is it like around 28, like a lot of them, or do you know on the
Blackbird?
Yeah, I think it is around 28 if I remember.
It is
29 on the 10.
Oh, 29. I was off by an ounce. Yeah,
29 on both the 10 and 12 inch.
And then so you can go to the magnet weight on a neodymium, the Tornado is 7 ounces.
Yeah, so
that's significant.
That's pretty dramatic.
And that's also a 100-watt speaker.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I think I was joking with these guys. I'm like, the Neomag, it's like it goes against everything American that we all love. We love heavy and metal and just big, and it's going to be better because it's heavy, right?
Yeah, but we get older and we don't like our amps to weigh so much.
So
every musician I know that's like over 50, it's like, those are cool. I really want those speakers because I don't like lifting.
I would like to preserve my back. Well, yes, I still have it right now, so totally I don't mind. I like the light magnet in it.
Now, so one of the other things you guys do is you guys have different series. You have vintage series, both for Alnico and ceramic, and mm-hmm. then you have the mod series. So with the vintage series, what are you guys accomplishing there? Are you guys trying to duplicate the speakers from the 60s and the 50s?
As close to original spec as you can with both the Alnico and the ceramic.
Mm-hmm.
The mod series, which is a ceramic line, those are considered modern with a hint of British to them.
I was going to ask you. So with Jensen, do you guys feel you're more of like an American speaker company? Like the sound you're going, you know, because there's American and British amps. It's kind of how people divide it. Are you guys considered more of an American speaker?
Yes, the Jensens are, you know, the iconic American sound. They're the first speaker that Leo Fender used. So, you know, we're proud of that. But we're not trying to sound like, you know, anything else. It's just that was a way of describing it, that it has kind of a hint of that. So
well, just to I did some research on that, and just so everybody knows, their first speaker that they used for Fender was the P15N, right? So you know the model numbers, and they used that was for the Fender basement and the Bandmaster amp.
So was it 15 inch, I assume, then?
P15? Well, there were a 15. I don't. We were discussing this. Was this the Tweed or were the Tolex issues? Because in the basements, when they had the head and the cabinet, there was a 15. So I'm thinking that's what that was, because the Tweed ones were 410s. But what's interesting, speaking of 410s, the P10R was used in the Super Reverbs. So and they still make these. So everybody, if you need to get your Fenders back to what the original was, that's the model. And then in the ceramic, they used the C10Q. Which I presume is also the C12Q for the 12-inch, if mm-hmm. you had ceramics. Those were used in a lot of the 60s Fender amps. And you were talking about and that's the quote-unquote American sound, but you guys also make the Mod Series, which is your quote-unquote British.
Hint of British.
Yeah, just a hint of it.
It's kind of a transparent speaker. It's one of those speakers that you like to have your amp model, the colorization, as compared to the other speakers that we do carry, which each one of them has their own characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
So with the mod series, you can let the amp kind of control what kind of color it brings out through the speaker mm-hmm. itself.
Is there a mod?
Yeah,
in
I was going to ask.
Yes, there is a mod.
Could you switch one on there?
Yeah, let's do a mod, and then let's do your vintage ceramic after that.
Okay.
You got both of those, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll do the same thing. Brian's going to run out and hit the switch doing that. But and then actually while he's doing that, is a rare earth metal? Is it hard to come by?
It is a little difficult with obtaining the raw material for it.
Uh-huh.
We had a Neo line at one point, mm-hmm. and we did discontinue it at one point. Now we just do the Neo Tornado,
mm-hmm.
Because it is become a little rough to get the actual raw material for it.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're ready to go for the mod first, right?
Mod 1270.
Mod 1270 here.
You might have accidentally hit the amp switch rather than the speaker switch.
You're right.
Also, too, just want to mention, like, one of the reasons Alnicos are so more expensive is because cobalt is a rare metal.
Because it's aluminum, nickel, and cobalt, I think.
Yeah.
We've switched out to the C12N, which is from their Vintage Ceramic series.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Getting close to the end of time. You guys have also got the P12N, which is the other Alnico from the vintage Alnico.
It is the 50 watt version.
Yes.
The predecessor, so to speak, of the Blackbird.
And it has the same magnet weight.
Yes, it should be 29 ounces as well.
And I think this, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that's a speaker you find in this limited edition deluxes from Fender, I believe.
Or is
it very similar? It's very close if it's not it. So.
Yeah, okay.
A lot more, it focuses a lot about sparkles as well.
Yeah.
With not as much emphasis on the lows as the Blackbird.
Yeah. Now we're using a low watt amp, so that's why it's breaking up more. But like what Jim Messina was talking about, that clear, punchy sound, like with a Tele, that speaker will just like do it right on the money. You know, that kind of country pop to it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That amp is a single EL84 is the power. So it's, you know, 8 watt.
8 watt. Yeah, we had them bring. They have bigger amps, but we had them bring the little one because we're in the studio. It's a little hard to control. But that speaker, just you can hear the difference.
So out of curiosity, has Jensen considered doing signature series sort of speakers? So, you know, maybe like an artist. I don't know. Let's pick Jim Messina since he called. But like maybe a Jim Messina speaker. Is that something that Jensen has explored or thought about doing?
We haven't talked about that, but you know everything's up, you know, out there still.
And what can you talk to anything new that might be coming out that without you know maybe release well whatever you can release, but is there something new coming out from Jensen for people to start looking out for?
There's not anything that we can tell you about. But they are
they
always.
They can neither confirm or deny.
We did waterboard them earlier.
Nor deny.
Yes. And it did not work out so well for us. So, so must not.
We had to
the
keep
government.
Them alive for the show. We could torture them.
But And then actually, since we're getting to the end of the show here, tell people how they can find out more about Jensen speakers, and then maybe also talk about how they can find out about the catalog for antique electronic supplies.
Well, with Jensen, you can go to www.jensentone.com. It gives sound bites. I understand it's kind of hard to decipher all the sounds of the speakers through computer speakers or earbuds, but it gives graphs, descriptions of all the speakers and things like that, videos as well that we've done over the past with testing them out and demoing them. As far as antique electronic supply goes, you can go to www.tubesandmore.com and make an account and request a catalog from us. We sell tons of parts for guitars and amplifiers. The way that I put it is everything to build an amp without the head box and everything to build a guitar without the body, because we do sell Fender style necks.
Oh, okay.
I just want to mention something that's just really cool that you guys do. I think, and I just want to know if it's on the website. I didn't get to look and see for it, but the back of their catalog, they have the wiring diagrams how to wire cabinets.
Yeah, I mean,
is that on the website?
It is.
Yes, it is. And with antique, we have tons of different tech support kind of stuff that we can help you go through with, like capacitors and things like that. But with the Jensen stuff, yeah, there is a wiring diagram on there that helps you step by step on how to wire your cabinets up.
Okay, cool. And then also to mention, if you're in kind of in the they're in the Phoenix area, and if you're in the Southern California area, they have a special deal where they can actually get you the parts in the next day. So that's good to know if you're in the Southern California area. So we've come to the end of the show.
Yes, we want to thank you guys for bringing all these speakers
down. Thank
you so much. I also want to thank Jim Messina for being on, and we're going to follow up with you guys and see what happened.
Yeah, sure.
Do you
want
to know what happened when you try those through his amplifier?
You guys, you should shoot some video of him playing if he's trying them out. That'd be cool to see.
Well, there you go. We'll do that.
But yeah, and so our next week's guest we're pretty excited about is the jazz guitarist Grant Geisman. And also famous for writing a couple theme songs on Mike and Molly and the TV show Two and a Half Men. He wrote those theme songs. So we'll be talking to him about his jazz music and also how he uses guitar to compose music for TV and film. We'll see you next week, guys.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.